Thanks for tuning in to Next Level Church Podcast. For more information, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. How are all the beautiful people doing? You guys are looking good. Today we are concluding our series entitled Finish Strong. And what we've been talking about in this series is just how hard life is, that life is incredibly difficult. It's difficult for all of us. And one of the things that makes it so difficult is that as human beings, we resist resistance, which means that whenever anything gets difficult, our go-to nature is to quit. We don't want to finish strong. And the reason that we aren't where we ultimately want to be is because we resist resistance. The reason we don't finish diets or stick with budgets, or the reason that we're not further along spiritually, is because we often quit when life gets difficult. And this is a series that I hope has inspired you. I hope it's challenged you. I hope you've written some things down and you'll start to practice it and put it into your life. And today, though, what I want to do is I want to challenge all of us to do one thing, because it's the final week of our series. And this is something that I think will revolutionize your faith. I think it is something that will help make sure that every single one of us in the room finishes strong when it comes to our faith. And what I want to encourage all of us to do is to play offense with our faith. In fact, that's our big idea for today. If you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do, you might want to write this down to think about it throughout the week, or you can take a picture of the screen. Feel free to do that. The big idea is to play offense with your faith. And I'll explain that in just a few moments. Our theme verse that's going to lead us today, it is written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians living in the area called Galatia. And Paul is important to us because he is a primetime player of the Scriptures. He wrote over half of the New Testament. He really helped us understand what it means to have a relationship with God and what that looks like. And we spent a lot of time talking about him because he was so influential. And we're going to look at his words that are so important to finishing strong. They come from Galatians 5:7. And at Next Level, we stand to honor the text. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me nice and loud our text. Something that we do that is a little bit fun here is when we get to the reference, Galatians 5:7, you'll see two dots. We simply pump our fists at those two dots and say dot, dot. And it's just a fun little thing that we do. It helps wake us up when the coffee's wearing off. The dot, dot keeps us going strong. So will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" Galatians 5, dot, dot, 7. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we ask that you would speak to our hearts. We ask that you would do what you tell us in Scripture, that your word would pierce through our very bone and marrow, God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would break through the hardness, that you'd break through our own fears, and that, God, you would speak to us. And God, we ask that you'd give us the courage to obey you no matter how hard it is. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So recently, we celebrated our church's 9th birthday, and that had me all up in my feelings. I don't know if you've ever been in your feelings, but like, I just was all up in my feelings. And a lot of those feelings were good feelings. Like, they were really good feelings. Like, did you know that over half of all of the church plants that start don't make it? We are a church plant, and like, we're on year 9, and we're not just making it, we're like doing really well. Like, we're doing great. Like, that's something exciting that I don't take for granted. Like, over half is a big number that don't make it, and here we are celebrating 9 years. And there's a lot of great things that I see. Like, we have people who come to Next Level who have never been to any church before in their life. That's a big win. That's something that's really cool, that God's using us to help shape their faith. We have people who have come who've been hurt from other churches, and they're coming and they're healing. And like we're doing really well. We're doing good financially. Like, I love seeing. And for those of you who post on social media about your spiritual life, thank you. It inspires and encourages me. I love when I get on Facebook and I don't see negativity from people at Next Level. I see what God's doing in their life. I love seeing that. And there's so many good things to celebrate. Like, we're actually making a difference in the world. Did you know that? Like, one of the reasons we're partnering with the organization this month that we're partnering with, the whole Jockeys for Justice thing, they're an organization that is trying to end sex trafficking in the 757. In the last few years, we've been their number one donor because that's something we want to end. We want to say, hey, that does not belong anywhere in the world, but if we can do anything about it, we want to end it in the 757. And the way that they raise money is through events like this. And we've been the number one giver, and so we want to finish strong. We want to give. By the way, it ends May 1st, so make sure if you're going to do that, don't put it off, because it is something that we want to be a part of. But we're like making a difference. We are really doing things in the world. And it's awesome. It's awesome to be a part of. At the same time, though, I heard someone say, woohoo. Yeah, you can woohoo that. Yeah. Woohoo. I don't know who that was, but thank you for the woohoo. I appreciate that. At the same time, though, there were some feelings that weren't quite as positive. And these feelings, I think, come more from unrealistic expectations that I had of what it would be like to plant a church. Now, I know that you guys aren't pastors, and so maybe you've never experienced starting a business or something. But if you've ever had kids, or maybe even if you've had a pet, you know what it's like to have expectations. And then the reality of taking care of that thing is very different than the expectations that you had. Like, for example, before I had kids, I just had these thoughts that, you know what, it's going to be awesome to be a dad. When I have kids, they're going to love basketball like I love basketball. And we're going to sit down and we're going to watch the Lakers together. My kids don't like basketball. They don't want to watch basketball with me. I had these expectations with kids. Like before I was a parent, I would go to the grocery store and I would see a toddler having a hissy fit. And I would say, that will not be my kid. It was my kid once they were toddlers. We had multiple hissy fits in public places. There's just all these expectations that you have. And it doesn't help that there are some things out there that paint unrealistic expectations. Like before I was a parent, I would see these infomercials for things like my baby can read. And I would think that's going to be my kid one day. Like my kid's going to be able to read before they're 1 year old. Or like there's these like video series where it's like the prime time to teach a human to speak a different language is when they're a toddler, and they have these toddlers that can speak three different languages. And I'm like, that's me. That's going to be my kids. My kids are going to speak American, English, and Australian. They're going to be trilingual. They're going to speak all the languages. Right. Have you ever seen? This is the one that blows me away the most. Have you ever seen those like 6 to 9 month old babies that can swim? Like if you haven't seen that, I brought a clip. Check this out.
When 9 month old Erin Terry fell into this pool, her parents could not have been happier. That's because just seconds later, she floated to the surface and began to swim.
She's a kicker and a mover.
Even in a snowsuit. It's all part of her training with certified aquatic survival instructor Dina Blum Rothman.
Okay, I don't know about you, but before I had kids, I was like, that's going to be my kids. Like, my kids are going to be geniuses, and my kids are really smart, by the way. I love my kids. They're really awesome. But you have, yeah, you can clap for it. Yeah. But you have these expectations, and then when it comes to reality, often reality doesn't meet the expectations because it's really hard to do these things. It's really difficult. And if you can relate to any of the stories that I just told, you can relate to being a church planner. Because before I planted the church, I had these expectations. There were just things that I thought were going to happen. Like, I thought that, I'm going to plant Next Level. And at Next Level, people are never going to show up to church late. They're all going to come on time because they're ready to worship Jesus. And then I started a church, and you know what? A lot of people come late. I thought when I started church, like, we're not going to have to deal with like all the drama that churches have to deal with where people are like fighting with you. We're never going to have to deal with that. We're going to deal with people who just love Jesus and they love each other and we're always going to get along. And can I tell you, over the 9 years, we haven't always got along. And I thought, okay, when I started church, like, we're going to be Next Level. It's just going to be different. Like, I'm not going to have to motivate or inspire people to like read the Bible or pray. Everyone's just going to want to do that. And we're just going to spend time talking about God and digging into the scripture. And then I started a church and I'm like, it doesn't matter what our name is. But it's just difficult to push people to do the things that they say they want to do. It's hard to motivate and inspire people spiritually. It's just difficult. And often it's hard to go deeper because we often have to wrestle with these elementary things because it's hard to do things. It's way harder to actually do it than it is to dream about it. And if you've ever started a business or if you've ever had a kid or if you've ever had some type of expectations and then you get into the world, you know that it's just more difficult to actually do these things that you thought were going to come so easy. And it's kind of like this. Dwight D. Eisenhower is famous for a quote that became known as the Eisenhower Principle. And if you've ever been a parent, you can relate to this quote. Dwight D. Eisenhower said, "I have two kinds of problems, the urgent and the important. The urgent are not important, and the important are never urgent. When it comes to especially parenting, we have all these dreams and these goals for our kids, but then the urgent takes over. Like, you got diapers to change, you've got, you know, crying baby, you got to feed them, you got all these things that are urgent, and it's like your big goals and your big dreams, they just go out the window, because it's like, I just need sleep. Like, I don't have time to teach my baby a third language. I just need to go to bed. I'm exhausted. And the urgent often take over. If you've ever, especially if you've been a leader at a job, you face this. It is hard to get momentum and to make progress because of all the sideways energy that happens at jobs. Like, you set these goals and you're like, this year we're going to hit these goals. But then all this sideways energy happens, all these difficulties. You're just constantly like putting out fires. And the reason you don't get further in life is because you're constantly putting out these fires, and it's hard to run straight when you're running zigzag, constantly putting out these things. It's hard to move forward when there's so much sideways energy. And so it's the same thing with parenting. It's the same thing with a job, a business. And I think it's the same thing spiritually. That oftentimes in our spiritual lives, we don't grow spiritually because we're constantly putting out fires. That there's urgent things that we have to deal with. Like, they're real things. Like, we have to deal with paying bills, and we have to deal with family drama and people getting sick, and we have to deal with, you know, there's pressing things like binge watching Netflix. There's these important things in our life that often feel urgent. And so we say things like, hey, you know what? I am going to grow in my faith. I'm going to start reading the Bible. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to be more spiritual disciplined. And we get inspired by sermons and we say, tomorrow I'm going to do it. But then the sideways energy comes. The difficulties of life come. And what we find is that 9 years have passed and we haven't moved very far down the field. And that's why I think that if we want to finish strong spiritually, if you want to finish strong in any area, you can apply what we're going to talk about today. But especially if you want to finish strong spiritually, you've got to move from playing defense with your faith to playing offense with your faith. And I first learned about this from Pastor Mark Batterson. He's also an author. And Mark Batterson says, maybe we need to quit playing defense and start playing offense. Maybe we need to quit letting our circumstances get between us and God and let God get between us and our circumstances. Maybe we need to stop talking to God about our problem and start talking to our problem about God. I absolutely love that quote. And again, here is our big idea: to play offense with our faith. Play offense with our faith. So the question is, what's the difference between offense and defense? Well, the difference between defense and offense is defense responds where offense attacks. And when it comes to faith, some of you can relate to this, that you play defense with your faith, that you struggle with prayer until a big problem comes. Then when a big problem comes, you respond to that problem by praying like crazy. Or you say you're going to do these great spiritual things, but it's just easy to get stuck in a rut and just kind of go through the routines and not read the Bible and not do the things that you're supposed to do. But then a big problem happens, and then it's like, okay, now it's time to get serious. Now it's time to buckle up and do this thing. And we often react to the problems in our life by throwing spiritual answers at it. But instead of waiting for problems to come, if we want to finish strong, if we want to have progress, we've got to play offense with our faith. That means we don't just react. We're actually leading. We're doing something. We're pushing our faith forward. Let's look at our theme scripture. We read it together, but I want to break it down. Galatians 5:7. Paul says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Paul's writing to the Galatian church, and it's this idea of running on a track, like an Olympic track. And if you know the Olympics, each person has a lane. And so you're running in your lane, but then someone cuts across you. They cut in front of you, and it causes you to stumble. And instead of running forward, you've fallen, and you're laying there on the track. That's the image that Paul gives. And Paul says, who cut in on you? Now, in this context, the specific group that was cutting in on their faith was a group of people called the Judaizers. The Judaizers were Christians who came from the Jewish faith. They had mixed the two things together. And they believed with all their hearts that you could not be a Christian if you didn't adopt all of the practices of the Old Testament. Specifically, they were hung up on circumcision. And the thing that was tripping up the Galatians is that they were focused, hyper-focused, on this legalistic ritual. And Paul says, who cut in on you? Who stopped you from running after God? Who stopped you from pursuing the things that I taught you about? Now, we know in his audience, we know who cut in on them. Can I just tell you that it's not the same people that cut in on us? Like, I don't really know people that talk about circumcision ever. Like, I don't deal in a world where people are like, hey, you know what? God's teaching me. It's like, we need more circumcision. Like, that's not in regular conversations. Like, we've never offered a small group around the subject of circumcision. Like, that's not a priority to us. And it's not something that's cutting our faith, pun intended. But there are some modern day things that I think apply to this scripture. We may not can relate to their cause, but we can relate to other things that cut in on our faith, that literally stop us, that trip us up from pursuing God and finishing strong. Did you know that every year, 2.7 million church members fall into inactivity? That's just in America. Every year, 2.7 million church members fall into inactivity. It is hard to find, to get progress, to move forward when you are losing almost 3 million people a year. Now, if that stat's not staggering enough, watch this next one. According to the World Christian Encyclopedia, approximately 2.7 million people convert to Christianity around the world. So the same amount of people that convert to Christianity around the entire world are leaving the church in America alone. That's not sustainable. You can't lose more people than you bring in. You can't. And it's just, it's in business, it's the same thing. You can't lose more sales than you bring in. You can't lose more customers than you bring in. You can't be losing 2.7 million people and then collectively as the entire church world only bring in 2.7. It is not sustainable, and it is a problem that we have to deal with. There are a lot of things that are cutting in on our faith. And I want to share this with you for a couple reasons. One, I hope to inspire you to be offensive with your faith. But the second reason I want to share this with you is that these are real things that are cutting in on people's faith. And I want to share with you four things that cut in on a Christian's faith. These are things that maybe you've experienced. Some of you probably experienced some of these. But I guarantee in your lifetime, you'll experience multiple of these. These are real life things, real reasons that people stop coming to church or stop believing in God or walk away from the faith. And so I want to go over these with you. The top four things that cut in on a Christian's faith. Number one is church hurt. Church hurt. Church hurt is real, and it is something that I hear a lot about in my profession. Being a pastor, I hear a lot about church hurt. What is church hurt? Well, church hurt is a wound that someone gets from the church. Most of the time, the wound comes from the pastoral staff or the pastor or leadership, but sometimes it can come from church people. And it's not a physical wound, it's an emotional wound. And there are a lot of church wounds because there's a lot of really bad and imperfect leaders in church world. There are a lot of pastors who have taken advantage of people. There are a lot of people who have stolen money from their church. There's a lot of pastors who have had affairs or have done things physically to people that just, it crossed lines and it was unholy and it was wrong. And they need to be called out. They need to be held and accountable. But so often, because it's hard to deal with it, churches have just swept it under the rug. And that leads to more church hurt. Because people are carrying around these burdens and then they see that pastor still leading. And like, it's a real thing that people have had to deal with. And I don't want to minimize that church hurt because that is real. But can I just tell you that most of the time in my life, those aren't the stories that I hear about. The stories that I hear about are not the church hurt that comes from sin issues where people have really abused or hurt them. The church hurt that I hear about so often comes down to one thing. And that one thing is someone not getting their way. Most of the church hurt that I hear about comes about because someone has an expectation, they want something in the church, and when it doesn't happen, it hurts. And it hurts so bad because church is not just connected to the people, your friends and family, it's also connected to God. And it is a wound that is really difficult to get over. Like, I know someone right now who, she's a former church staff member at another church. You don't know who she is, but she was let go from her church, and because it didn't work out, there's such a wound that she hasn't gone to church anywhere. And this has been years now. And when you talk to her about it, she will say things like, I just can't put my heart in that again. I can't go to some place where I might be hurt again. It is a real wound. And so because she was hurt from one church, she's written off all churches everywhere. Can I just tell you that sometimes we don't treat the church like we treat other things? Like, you've had bad service at a restaurant and you didn't come to the conclusion that you should stop eating out at all restaurants. But yet when it comes to church, it's like, oh, they hurt me, so therefore I distrust all churches. And it happens all the time. I know someone else who asked her pastor to do her mom's funeral. And the pastor was on vacation and not available. And so the pastor said, hey, I will connect you with another pastor to do it, but I'm not available to do it. And this person and their family got upset and they left the church. But they didn't just leave the church. They haven't been back to church anywhere because they had an expectation that their pastor should be there for them. But the part that's confusing is that this person's mom didn't even go to the church. It wasn't like she was plugged in, but it was an expectation that wasn't met. And that church wound, it is so big for her. Even if you can look at it and say, well, that's a silly wound, it is so big for her that it has caused her to not plug in to any church. Church hurt is a real thing. And can I just tell you, if you've felt church hurt, whether it's been any church that you've been a part of, you have got to seek healing for it, because church hurt is a wound that does not go away. And every time you come to church, it starts to feel like that wound's been picked a little bit, dug in a little bit. You've got to heal. You've got to forgive the people. And I'm specifically talking to those who have been hurt from being let go of a church staff, or a church didn't work out for you, you didn't get your way. That's the church hurt that we really need to work through. But church hurt is a real thing, and it's hurt a lot of people. And I want to tell you with all love, please don't stop pursuing God because church people have failed you. Finish strong. Don't stop pursuing God because church people have let you down, or they didn't do what you thought they were going to do, or they disappointed you, or they weren't perfect, or things didn't work out. Even if they are 100% in the wrong, please, you don't go to church for a pastor or a church staff. You go to church for Jesus. So don't stop worshiping what's right with God because what's wrong with church people. I want to go to number two, top four things that cut in on a Christian's faith. Number one is church hurt. Number two is bad theology. Bad theology. What is theology? Theology is simply just the study of God. I have a master's degree. It is a master's in theology. It is literally the study of God that I took 93 credit hours to learn about God and have a master's of divinity. My wife graduated from William and Mary and often touts that and says that it's very prestigious. And I always throw back to her, well, I have a master's in God. Nothing trumps that. So a master's of theology is literally just, I spent years studying about who God is and what do we believe. And theology, though, is something that not just pastors have. Like, everyone has a theology. What you believe about God is one of the most important thoughts you'll ever have, because what you believe about God, it will dictate all of your other thoughts. It is so important to understand, what do I believe about God, and why do I believe it? Look at what Paul says in another one of his letters, 1 Timothy 4:1. He says, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Paul had his pulse on this. He heard directly from the Holy Spirit, and he said, there's going to come a time where some people will leave the faith. They will abandon the faith to follow deceiving spirits. And I think this is a big reason. It's a big reason why people are leaving church. They are leaving church often because they don't know what they believe about God. And here's a massive problem in America. It's not just in church worlds. It is in America. In America, we are led by our emotions over anything else. And we make decisions based off our emotions. And the problem with making a decision off your emotions is that your emotions can be deceiving. And your emotions can be inconsistent. One day you may feel like being on a diet. The next day you may feel like not being on a diet. That's inconsistent. And so in order to see progress, we cannot be led by our emotions. We need to be led by something else. And what are Christians led by? It's not our feelings. It's not our emotions. It's by Scripture. What does Scripture teach us? And way too often people come to church, and as soon as they hear something that they don't like or rubs them the wrong way, instead of digging in and saying, hey, maybe I should change my emotions around what God teaches, we say, well, I don't like that. That doesn't feel right. Boom, I'm out of here. It is a big, massive reason why people are leaving. So I want to ask you a question. Are you driven by your emotions or your theology? How are you supposed to treat people? Are you supposed to treat them the way that they've treated you? No, Scripture says, Jesus said that we are to treat others the way that we want to be treated. If you allow your emotions to dictate you, you'll give people what they gave you. But Christians are supposed to be bigger than that. And the only way to be bigger than that is to hold on to the truth of Scripture and say, no, I'm not driven by my emotions. I'm going to allow the Scripture to drive my emotions. Look what Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and hearers. Watch your life and your doctrine. What is your doctrine? It's what you believe. You got to watch it closely. You got to pay attention to it. Because as culture continues to change and shift and adjust, you're going to be faced with some decisions. What do I actually believe? And what's going to motivate you? What's going to drive your decisions? Are you driven by culture, or are you driven by your understanding of God's word? This is how we play offense with our faith. We don't allow our emotions or culture to dictate us. We start with God's word and we say, hey, God, what do you say about this? Help me to form my opinions and my emotions based off what you say. I'm going to start there. Let's keep going. Top four things that cut in on a Christian's faith. Number one, church hurt. Number two, bad theology. Number three, laziness. Laziness. They surveyed some of the 2.7 million people who have left the church within the last couple years. And the number, one of the top reasons that people gave to why they left church was that they simply got out of the habit of going. They weren't hurt by anyone. They weren't offended or mad. They just got out of the habit. It's just, they got lazy. And man, didn't the pandemic expose this really quickly? Like, the pandemic's real. It's a real thing that we've all had to wrestle through. We're still wrestling through. We're still trying to figure it out. But did you know that before the pandemic, Next Level Church, we averaged between 400 and 500 people on a Sunday? And the pandemic happened, and then we started the online service, and then we got to a safe point where we started opening up public services. And so today, we average about 150 socially distant, mask-wearing people on a Sunday in three services. And we average about 50 on a really good Sunday, 100 people online. Now, I'm not good with math, but that's not 500 people. Where did everyone else go? What happened to them? Literally, where did they go? The fear, the biggest fear that I hear of pastors right now in the pandemic is that people have just gotten out of the habit of prioritizing church and prioritizing God. It is a real thing that happens. So what can we do against that? How do we play offense with our faith? Well, one of the best ways to play offense with our faith is to join a serve team. I want to explain this just for a second. In life, when laziness hits, if you don't have something else motivating you, if you don't have something else pushing you, the laziness wins out. Like, for me, if I don't have the accountability of meeting someone at the gym in the morning, then I allow my emotions to dictate what I do. Did I sleep well? Nope, I didn't sleep that good. I'll work out later. Later never comes. It is easy to make excuses and to be lazy unless someone's counting on you. It changes when someone is counting on you. And one of the biggest things that will help push you when you're feeling lazy in your faith, one of the biggest things that will help you is when someone else is counting on you to do something. If Next Level is your church, did you know that you are responsible for helping us build it? You are the church. And one of the biggest things that you can do is to join a serve team, to give back, to learn what your gifts are, and to help us build this thing. We have serve opportunities with students on Wednesday, throughout the week in our offices, and on Sunday. There's lots of opportunities and ways for you to plug in. But I'm telling you, the amazing thing about serving is that it doesn't just benefit us, it benefits you. I wish I never heard this, but I hear this on almost a monthly basis. Someone will come up to me and say, you know what? I wasn't coming to church today. We just had a long Saturday night. But because I serve, I came to church, and I'm so glad I did, because the sermon, God really spoke to me through the sermon. And I'm like, thanks, I guess. I appreciate that. Like, I wish you were just coming no matter what. But like, I get it. I get it, though. Because when laziness hits, it's just easy to make excuses. It's easy to make excuses. But when you join a serve team, it means someone is counting on you to help build this thing. And it benefits your church, but it also really does benefit you. So if you are, or if you would say Next Level is your church and you're currently not giving back by serving, I want to encourage you to text the word serve to 757-280-2383. And it'll prompt you and walk you through what to do, and then you can see all the various options that we have, and you can join a team to give back. And I'm telling you, it is a real problem that when no one is counting on you, it's easy to slack off. But when someone is counting on you, it just gives you that extra motivation that you need. And serving is a great way to play offense with your faith. So top four things that cut into a Christian's faith. Number one, church hurt. Number two, bad theology. Number three, laziness. Number four, negative influences. Negative influences. If you want to see where you'll be in 5 years, look at the five people who you are closest to. The five people that you are closest to are a great prediction of where you're going to be 5 years from now. You are a product of the five people that you are closest to. So I want to ask you a couple of rhetorical questions. Who influences you in the faith? If you're a product of the five people closest to you, who are your spiritual influences? I would be honored if your pastor was on that list, but can I tell you, your pastor's not enough. That you need people that are in your life that see you day to day, that can help answer your questions or talk to you about spiritual matters, that you can help inspire. Who influences you in your faith? The second rhetorical question is, who spurs you on to be more like Jesus? The scripture says that as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We become dull if we don't have spiritually sharp people in our lives. So who is it? Who helps you be more like Jesus? Do your friends, do your coworkers, do the people that you spend the most time with, do they help dull your faith or do they help sharpen your faith? If they help dull your faith, then you need to make sure that you are being influenced and that you strategically and intentionally look for people that can spur you on and help you become more like Jesus. Look what Paul says next in our theme verse, Galatians 5, 8 through 9. He said, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. What Paul is saying is that if you have a big thing of dough and you put just a tiny bit of yeast, it works its way through the entire thing. And it's the same thing with the things that influence us. Just a little bit of bad influence goes a long way. Just a little bit of bad theology goes a long way. Just a little bit of church hurt goes a long way. Just a little bit of laziness, it works through the whole dough. Who cut in on you? Now, these are four things that are very real. And if you haven't experienced them, I'm a little shocked because I think you will at some point. But if you have experienced these, I don't want to minimize them. They're real things that we have to fight against. And the way that we fight against them is we don't allow them to dictate our reactions. We let our faith dictate how we're going to respond to them. And the way that we respond to them is we don't sit around and wait for these things to cut in our faith. We run passionately, wholeheartedly after Jesus. That we become offensive with our faith. That we do what's right. And we let our faith dictate the world around us. Everything on this list, it is a real life excuse. It's a real thing that we have to face. And as I was writing this sermon, I continued to think about my all-time favorite movie quote. It's a movie quote that I think applies to this entire sermon series, Finish Strong. But it's one that I thought of specifically for today's talk. And I think it's going to help inspire you as well. This comes from the movie Rocky Balboa. Check this out.
Oh, look who's here.
Anthony.
Have you seen your father?
From the back.
You're unbelievable. You're doing good. You're enjoying everything, right? Excuse me. How you doing? Glad you come by.
Can I talk with you?
Sure.
Can you do it outside? So you're going through with this?
Yeah, I start training tomorrow.
They're up. I made some connections. I could make some money on this endorsements.
Absolutely, do that.
Thank you, Rob.
Sure.
Okay.
So you're nervous about the fight?
They're scared to death.
You don't look scared?
Well, you ain't supposed to.
Then you don't have to do it.
Yeah, well, I think I do.
You know, living with you, it hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is going to be worse than ever.
It don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Oh, well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself. And this happens. Now I'm asking you as a favor not to go through with this, okay? This is only going to end up bad for you, and it's going to end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
It's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
You ain't going to believe this. But you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching you. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
I have that quote up on a poster in my office, and I look at it often. One of my favorite parts of the quote is, now if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth, but you got to be willing to take the hits and stop pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. And in the movie, the thing that cut in on Rocky's son was the shadow of being in his dad's shadow. It was a real thing that he had to wrestle with, but it became an excuse because he wasn't where he was supposed to be because he was holding on to the excuse. In our spiritual lives, there are real things that cut in our faith. They're real. But at some point, they become an excuse as to why we're not making forward motion. And if you want to make forward motion, if you want to finish strong, you got to stop with the excuses. You got to look them in the eye and say, I'm going to pursue Jesus. I'm not going to allow, even though it's difficult, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to allow church hurt to cause me to quit pursuing Jesus. I'm not going to allow laziness to stop me from being spiritually disciplined. I'm not going to allow bad theology. I'm going to dig in and understand what the Bible says. I'm not going to allow, just because it's difficult, I'm not going to allow that to be my excuse. I'm going to push hard. I'm going to finish strong. If you're here today and you are a parent, can I just challenge you just for a second? A lot of us that are parents, when we were kids, our parents didn't model for us the things that we're talking about in this series. Our parents didn't model for us prayer or Bible reading or scripture. And so we didn't have a good example. And so that's become our excuse. And can I just tell you, that you, it is your responsibility to teach your kids the things of the faith. And you may have a real excuse because no one's ever taught you, but please don't allow that to be the thing that stops you from pouring into your kids and modeling for them what it means to live for Jesus. Can I just tell you that we are losing a generation of Christians, young Christians. We're losing them. They're walking away from the church. They want nothing to do with God. And statistics say the number one reason is because they don't see their parents model for them a relationship with God at home. And so we can't impact everyone, but someone that we can't impact is our own flesh and blood, our kids. So would you just finish strong? Just model it for them. Just prioritize it. Just put God first and stop allowing the excuses to cut in on you. So who cut in on you? Do you let them distract you from worshiping Jesus? Did you allow them to stop you from pursuing God and having a deep faith? Who cut in on you? Finish strong by fighting back. That takes us to today's win. Today's win is, are you playing offense or defense with your faith? Are you playing offense or defense with your faith? Identify one way to play offense and do it this week. There are real excuses. There are real hurts. There are real things. There are real reasons why we're not moving forward. Well, identify one and then push through and just do it. Prioritize it. Do whatever it takes. Put it in your calendar. Ask someone to hold you accountable. Do whatever it takes to finish strong. And start by identifying one way to play offense with your faith. Will you pray with me? God, we come to you and we just thank you that you're a God who inspires and motivates us, and a God that is so patient. God, we just ask that in this final day of this series, that God, you would help us to do what we are called to do, that we would finish strong, that we would not allow excuses or real life things to cut in on us, but that God, we would run passionately for you, that we would keep our eyes focused on you, that we would run hard for you. And we ask God in Jesus' name that you would start by changing our hearts so that we could inspire and change the world. And we thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for how you're going to do it. We thank you for helping us finish strong. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to hear more, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net. You can also follow us on social media at nextlevel757. Join us next time.